gorgeous, darling, but is it art?
Hedia Anderson-Mita is an Otorohanga-based artist whose practice depicts the everyday lives of the people of her community, often portraying landscapes or these tender, intimate moments in domestic and communal environments, but also the political and social environment of today that shape contemporary Māori life. In her current solo exhibition, Pā Te Huarahi Ki Te Kāinga, Finding My Way Home, on at Tim Melville Gallery, each painting locates and portrays a side of history and connection within the rohe of Ōtewa, Rangitoto Tuhua, and the surrounding pā of Ngāti Maniapoto and Rere Ahu. Tracing the footprints of her tūpuna, Anderson Mita's inquiry sees her painting the pātuna, the kohatu, the maunga, and the awa that were once sources of sustenance for entire communities, bringing these subjects into light as an avenue to share her knowledge of this area with others. I had a kōrero with Hedia about the show and her overall practice.
Kia ora, my name is Hedia Mariah Anderson Mita, and I'm from Otorohanga. I live there, and I'm a painter, so I've always been into art ever since I was a little kid. So I grew up and ended up in art school at Wānanga Aotearoa, and then went on later on in my life and did my master's at Wycliffe. So it was quite a progression in adulthood into professional arts, but I've always been making.
I want to talk a little bit about the subject of your practice. It tends to focus on painting the everyday lives of your community, as well as these relational nuances and connections between Māori culture and the 21st century, often portraying these tender, intimate moments in domestic and communal environments, but also the political and social environment of today that shape contemporary Māori life. In this current exhibition at Tim Melville Gallery, Pā Te Huarahi Ki Te Kāinga, Finding My Way Home, you've described these new works as a return to the ancestral lands that have shaped who you are. I guess to introduce the show, do you want to start by speaking a little bit to the subject matter of these new paintings and what drew you to creating a series depicting these locations?
Well, that's like a huge, like, a seminar on, I suppose, what drew my practice. I think a lot of elements from my childhood come through. I lived with my grandparents and I went with them to a lot of hui and at marae, locally and outside of our district. And so my eyes were captured, you know, all of this in my ears, my senses, the world around me. So that's all I knew growing up. Till about 13, 14. So I lived with them and we had a marae on our front lawn. My grandfather built it with help of others and whānau, and that became our family whare, and it was right outside the main house that we lived in. So I was in and out of playing all around that whare, and my cousins would come over and would play there. And so a lot of that home life informed the work that I do today. And also around painting, I had this strong kind of, traditional style of painting throughout the house. So we had prints and things like that of Vermeer and landscapes and old English landscapes and all that kind of thing in the house. So it was all that kind of thing was my grandparents' sort of vibe at the time. And who else? Salvador Dali. He was in the whare as well. And so I captured the idea around realism through those artworks, and so they're projected into the work that I do as well today. So when I went to Wycliffe and studied, I actually didn't want to do painting. I wanted to do everything else but painting because I didn't know what I was really going to do with it until my supervisor, and this is going back to 2014, 15, 16, I was with Wycliffe, and they actually honed my practice and showed me that I actually was a painter, that I should just don't worry about everything else, that the other mediums that I was looking at and get into painting and really hone my craft there. So I did that, and that's where the study on realism and also in, you know, early sort of Western or English style painting, European type paintings came into play, and I studied that, and I drew down on that history of Western painting and then worked through my knowing and understanding of my own culture and history into that. And so that's where these works, and all of my works that I do, no matter what subject matter I'm working on, it stems from. But with this lot of work, and it's been on my mind for a few years now, is that as I get older, I'm like 51 now, and it's sort of like when I turn 50, an intense kind of lens happened in my work, that I need to look at the history of where I live and where my grandparents lived, and in our politics today, post-colonial politics, where Māori are sort of our knowledge of where we live and the history of the expanse of our land, and that it shrunk so much into a little block of land that I needed to go back in time and have a look at our footprint, at our natural footprint of being Māori, and bring those landscapes back into in front of us, in front of our children and ourselves as adults today, to see where we've come from. Yeah, so I've taken a really quite a deep dive into our history.
Mm, that's so beautiful. Yeah, you've spoken so beautifully there about how grounded your upbringing in Ōtorohanga is to your practice, and it's so lovely to hear about how that kind of has influenced and changed in the way it's taken shape in your practice throughout the years, coming up to this exhibition. In terms of process, are you able to talk me through a bit more about your making process as a painter? How do you go from turning your ideas into the final product?
It's a little bit challenging, because when I'm invited to show, you know, in a solo or in a group show, my work depends on what's happening in my life right now. So the oil painter that requires a process, but what I'm doing right now is quite fast in how I have to turn around narratives for my work, but also working in with what I'm currently interested in this moment of time. It's quite demanding, so I have to work fast with slow mediums. Mm. Yeah, being an oil painter.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's not a lot of the time it's not something that I can plan for. If I see something happening, like kids running across a field, you know, that is my exhibition is in a month's time or something, or 2 weeks, or, you know, and I want to include that in my body of work. That's where the challenge arises for me.
I wanted to come back a little bit to your process with this show specifically, and this idea of finding your way back home. It appears that your process in this series was quite rooted in your research into place as well, where through Māori land court records, 19th century field books, maps, archives, oral histories, and the land itself, you've been able to locate these sites of histories and connection. You worded this process really beautifully as a tracing of the footprints of your tupuna. Talk to me a bit about this research aspect behind the works and what that process looked like for you.
So it took the first lot of work in terms of research happened when I just started listening to people talk about what had been going on in Otewa, in the history of Otewa. And some of it relied on what I had learnt as a child listening to my grandparents and my grandfather in particular talk about elements of our history. And I would go out with Rua and a group of like 50 or 60 people on a bus, and he'd go around and talk about the history of, you know, our region. I soaked it in like a sponge, and it really resonated with me. And I must have been in my 20s and 30s where I started to join in on what was happening and with Granddad and disseminating his history through trips and things like that out for Kaumātua. So I joined in. The next thing is when I returned back home and started joining in on committee meetings and things, I saw that a lot of people, there was a disconnect, like there is with all of us, a disconnect with our history and and elements of our history. So I started to think about how can I bring this knowledge back in so that everybody knows what's happened in the past. My uncle, he has spoken to my mother. He was sick and he had said to her, I want Hedia and I to write a book about the history of Wātua. And then she told me, and then not long after that, he passed away. So it was then that a little time afterwards that I put my hand up to myself and said, oh, I want to write a book about the history of Wātua. And then, bang, after that, all these things started happening. Like information was coming to me like synchronicity, you know, without me even having much effort. And so I started taking elements that were coming to me and started piecing them together and started getting a bigger picture and a bigger picture. I went and I phoned up, I found a local archaeologist that was into looking at Māori past sites and things like that. So I found his number and I rung him up and I said, oh, are you knee deep in mud or can I talk to you? and he goes, oh, you know, no, oh, I'm fine, I can talk. I said, well, yes, I want to know, I've been down to the National Library and Te Kōti, photos of Te Kōti landmarks are down there and I want to look for something. So that's when I got to meet him. And he was able to show me records that were pertaining to the landmarks that were down Otewa. And the landmarks, I was so surprised, the past sites that they had found, that was the beginning of opening up the history, to my eyes, the history of Otewa. So through the archaeology, I was able to create a Google Earth map and I started putting every landmark that I found in any paperwork, including the archaeology, into this Google Earth map, and it's quite big now. So my document that I work from on Google Earth is quite big. And then I started piecing the puzzles together. From there, when I found matching documentation that for one past site, for say, then I started seeing a real picture of the history that happened there. And that's when I found Kūpapa and Ongarahu. And I'm still discovering things today, opening up things today. But what I found that was significant to me is that where Kūpapa Pā is, Rereahu lived, and where Ongarahu is, his son Dinarangi lived. And that's around about the 1500s, 1600s, you know, that those people lived. And I was seeing this information starting to knit together. So I found Ongarahu through the Google Maps and the records. And so I went there on car and I started to stalk the area. And so you can stand up on this hill and look out over to Kūpapa and Ongarahu just behind. And it looked like a pā site. And it was, you'd look out and you could see right through to the kakipuku maunga behind it, and it's up on a rise, and it's just beautiful, and no wonder people live there. And so I started with that, and then I went around to other places that I know of, and that's how Puke Tarata came about, because I lived there. And yeah, I could go on and on, but you know.
No, it's so beautiful to hear that process and just even a snippet of it, and I think like it's amazing how much richness there is within the works and behind an artwork. There's just so much history and meaning behind it, and it's it's so great to get insight into that. For those who do see the show, do you have like a particular intention for how the works are interpreted or engaged with, particularly in this way that you're bringing these sites of rich histories into light?
Well, I have my intentions, but at the end of the day, it's up to the people to be drawn in or not, or to interpret or not. I think the main thing that I want is for this history or kōrero to be out in our public audience and received again, because I know for myself that it's really hard to access records that are in archives and museums, and if it's hard for me to access, then it will be hard for others to access that don't have an access way that I do, in the same way that I do, to museums and things like that. So I've extracted that information out and created this artwork, and I've also added in the Google Earth coordinates that go with the artwork, so people can see where the pāa actually is. So there's no mystery to where, you know, Hedia painted this, you know, work. It's all there. But also the history can be located as well. So that's important to me.
For sure. That's such a nice detail to the show. Just lastly, accompanying the show, you've written a piece titled The Return Home, Te Hokinga ki Te Kāinga. Do you want to maybe talk about the inclusion of it?
Of course. It's another avenue of receiving knowledge and as poetry. In that poem has got old names that have disappeared with time, names of pātuna, names like Puke Poto, you know, it's not heard of in today's context of land, so I'm looking at reinstating those names back so people can hear them again and know how valuable pātuna were to pass sites. And my ancestor, Te Pāra Kōmanga, he said in the Māori Land Court minutes, here is a pātuna at Manga Whero, and here is another one at Manga Pōhue, and could you please keep them within this land block? This is when they were slicing up the land blocks and things like that. Could you please keep these two pātuna in with these pass sites so they're kept together? I'm not sure if that happened, but it's important to recognise. And so in the end, I hope one day that poem will be translated into a more tiatia so that those names stay out at Otiwa, but that's for other people to decide, because I cannot, you know, preempt that. It's if the people want it. Yeah, but that's another way of receiving knowledge.
That was artist Hedia Anderson-Mita speaking to me about her current exhibition, Pā Te Huarahi Ki Te Kāinga, Finding My Way Home, on at Tim Melville Gallery. The show is on until the 15th of November.